I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. There were three funerals this weekend that I wanted to go to. As is the way of today's world, though, all three of them were live streamed, so I can go back tonight and watch them, which is something that people like me do, watch funerals online. The first funeral was for a woman who was on the cusp of retirement with her husband, a childhood friend of mine. They had it all. They had a lifetime of love. They had grown children and now grandchildren, and a new life waiting for them in Costa Rica. But over the course of a couple of weeks ago, she got sick one day, and by day four found out that she had had acute leukemia, and by day six she was dead. The others were for two iconic people in the Episcopal Church, in the Episcopal world. One was Rachel Held Evans, a young mother of two little kids and a writer, just coming into her own. She died after a treatment for a common infection caused her brain to swell. Rachel Held Evans was not a friend. I'd never met her, but I've read all her books more than once, and I admired her enormously, like young people and old people did all over the world. I admired her for her integrity and for her gift of being able to interpret her faith for so many people who needed help in articulating their own. And then my bishop died. Not the Bishop of Minnesota, Brian Pryor, he's still alive, but my bishop, the retired Bishop of Atlanta, who many years ago, for some unexplainable reason, sent me to seminary, and for some equally odd reason, ordained me later to the priesthood. Despite my deep imperfections and not just possible but probable neuroses, Frank Kellogg Allen thought that the Holy Spirit might be working in me such that I could become a priest. Before becoming bishop, Bishop Frank was my parish priest, and it was he who drove with my shocked parents at 2 o'clock in the morning on a trip from Atlanta to Athens, Georgia, about an hour or so away, in the terrible night when the police woke up my parents to tell them that their third child, my brother, had died in a car accident. And it was Frank who buried that young man a couple of weeks later. When I forget what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to be as a priest, I remember what Frank did and how he was, and I try to do that. I couldn't attend those funerals in person this weekend because I spent Friday and Saturday at the House of Prayer in Collegeville, next door to St. John's Abbey, which you may have heard of, as a group of us began our work as the transition committee for the next bishop of Minnesota. This group of faithful, talented people from all over the Episcopal Church of Minnesota will be working together for the next many months with trust and joy and love to ensure a smooth transition between our retiring ninth bishop of Minnesota, Brian Pryor, and the arrival of the 10th Bishop of Minnesota, who, by the way, we're calling Bishop X. That's also the Roman numeral X, right? So it works both ways. Well, that person right now is a person known only to God. As Bishop Allen took a huge leap of faith many years ago now, identifying me as a possible priest, the standing committee of this diocese took their own huge leap of faith as identifying me as somebody who might agree to chair the transition committee, an offer which I accepted. The mind boggles. The Episcopal Church is in a time of deep change. It joins all other Christian denominations who are in this same time, sometimes struggling, sometimes dancing, and sometimes dying, in a culture that is experiencing shifts and changes unlike any other time in history. There are some who preach doom and have disconnected themselves from the life of the institutional church. And there are many who have stuck with the church and keep on traveling with her, but they dwell in fear and grief as they watch what was slip away and face the unknown with anxiety. In short, many in the Episcopal Church of Minnesota are deeply grieving. Meanwhile, many are stepping up and are accepting the invitation to be part of this ancient tradition of discerning what God is up to among us as we once again call a new bishop to partner with us in this part of the body of Christ. Every one of us takes a big leap of faith every time we agree to join God's work in the world. When we move into the unknown, we trust that God is very present and that God will never leave us. As I have dwelt in the midst of my own deep grief for those who were remembered in these three funerals this past weekend, as I did that and I've lived in that grief, and at the same time, I have sat with 13 others as we listened deeply to one another's stories, as we planned our future work and we shared our hopes for the new life of this diocese, I was reminded of this. I was reminded that it is true that in the midst of life, we are in death. And thanks be to God, because also in the midst of death, we are in life. We are in new life through our God of resurrection, who from the beginning of time has always created new life out of death and always creates order out of chaos. Nothing stays the same. The church has always been dynamic and moving and changing and flipping around and upside down and back. Never, never, never in the history of life has God's church been static? Never. And our lives are like that too, moving and changing and adapting. That's the way that God created us. But despair about our lives, or despair about our death, or despair about the future of the church is presumptuous. Despair presumes that God is not still acting, that God is not still listening, that God is not still creating, that God is not still calling us to love. By God's grace this morning, we have this beautiful hymn from John's Revelation, which assures us that in life and in death, we are enfolded by the Alpha and the Omega, by God, by Christ, by the Holy Spirit, who has loved us from before our beginning and will love us until after our end. Let everyone who is thirsty come to the water of life that is Christ Jesus. This church will live because it is not our creation. It is God's remarkably creative expression of love in this broken world, which is borne out through the work that God has given us to do. The beginning and the end and the beginning, woven together through God's time. The most beautiful service in all of our Book of Common Prayer, in my opinion, is our burial service. And in that service, we are called to remember that even at the grave, we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Amen.